God does what He does best. That's forgive, saves, heals, sanctifies, blesses. Praise God. Ain't He a mighty God this morning? A God of many miracles today. I'm glad that He is my Lord this morning. I'm glad that He's my Savior this morning. I'm glad that He is my help. As the psalmist says, He is a help in a time of trouble. He's a strength when I need strength. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord this morning. If you have your Bible, stand with me this morning. And just for a few minutes this morning, I want to share the gospel with you. Not going to read a whole lot, but I just don't really know, really. Anyway, this was Paul was writing to the Corinthians here in 2 Corinthians, writing to the Corinth church here, and he was writing to them about how they were being cheerful givers, to reaching out to other churches and other places and other people and helping them. And so Paul said here in verse 5, let's start reading there in verse 5. And now let me back up to verse 4. It said, least happily if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we say not ye should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he proposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace, listen to that, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have in all sufficiency in all things may abound, I mean grow, to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiplies your sown, and increase the fruits, amen, of your, man, that's shouting ground. And increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God for the administration of this service, not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. Yes. While by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal freely distributions unto them and unto all men. And by their prayers for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Verse 15 says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift.
Thank you, Lord.
That's a blessing on this girl.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this beautiful day, another day that you have given us to come and worship in your house, Lord. Lord, today we just ask that you open our ears and our hearts.
Yes.
Just let us be able to see with our spiritual eyes.
Have your way, Jesus. Hallelujah. Manifest it. Yes, Lord. Yes.
Yes.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, I was sitting there the other day, and I was sitting there reading, and And I kept going, my mind kept going back to this scripture, and I know I preached from some of this before, but I'm sure I won't preach it this morning like I preached it before. But as I began to read this, I seen a number of things in there, in this part of the scripture here. But most of all, I know the scriptures about here that Paul wrote, and I know it's about God loves a cheerful giver. And we want to talk about that just a little bit, but not just giving, but receiving also. Amen. And so over in verse 15 there, I like that verse very much. It says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now, you might think that's just saying, thank God for your unspeakable giving, you know, and money and so on and so forth. But that is not near what he's talking about this morning. You know, if people are obedient to God, and if people can kind of do what God says to do, then I'm going to tell you something. What you give, if it's yourself, if it's your time, but if it's your finances, then I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be blessed. Amen. But when you start talking and you read something about being blessed, and you start reading something in the Bible about money, you know, and about giving, people tightens up. Amen. They start seeing if their bill folds, Brother Bill is fighting. But what they don't understand is what you do give. If you give from the heart, God don't want you giving anything. I don't care if it's a dollar, if you give it grudgingly, because God don't want you to be a hindrance to other people that give and give cheerfully. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you want a blessing, you just start minding God, and you're going to get a blessing. Amen. He said, I'll pour you out a blessing, that you can't contain. He said, matter of fact, he said, I'll bless you when you come in, and he said, I'll bless you when you go out. He talks about a cheerful giver. God loves to give. There's not a one of us in here this morning that is as cheerful or giver as what God is. Amen. And people want to know sometimes, what are the people do with all the money in these churches? What does people want to do with them? Amen. I'm going to tell you, if you've seen the bills, especially on this, and I can imagine, Connie, on bigger churches, then they wouldn't have to ask. Some people would ask anyway. And the only ones usually that ask this question is they just simply are the ones that's not blessed in their giving. Amen. I'm just going to be honest this morning. If you don't give to God what God says to give, I'm not talking about a certain amount. I'm talking about not a certain amount, not how much you give, but the way you give it. You know, if all you have, and you give just a little bit, I think the scripture over there, amen, the book of John, the Bible says that Jesus was in the temple. He was in the church, and this led this. Me and Brother Bill taught, and Brother Bill, God had done laid something similar on my heart. The Bible says we're two in agreement of any one thing. The Bible said it shall be done. And so I read in the Bible over there that Jesus was in the temple, and he was sitting there, and the Bible said they brought their tithes and offered, just like we done this morning. We brought them to God. That's what he said. God didn't say, go out and get them. God said, bring them to me. Amen. And so that's what he done. And so that's what they was doing. And the Bible said Jesus and his disciples was sitting there. And the Bible says, here come this poor little woman. And the Bible says she dropped in two mites or two mites. Just little stamps, bigger enough you could barely see. They wasn't worth very much. But the Bible said as she passed by, and Jesus was sitting there. Now, I didn't watch. It's none of my business what you give and what you don't give. Not one thing to me or nobody else. But the Bible said that Jesus was sitting there. And as this little woman passed by, She dropped 2 minutes in there, 2 mites, and she went on about her business. And the Bible says, here come some of them, of the Pharisees and all, that had abundance. And the Bible said that they passed by, and they dropped in quite a bit in the offer place, so to speak. They dropped in quite a bit. But Jesus, here the point is, it's not how much you give, it's how you give. Amen. And the Bible said that these guys that had it, they passed by, and man, just filled the offer plate up. They wanted to be seen of it. Amen. They wanted to be seen how much they'd give. But the Bible said that after they passed by, Jesus looked at the little woman, and the Bible said that Jesus turned and looked at his disciples and said, come here a minute. And they walked up there to him and said, they said, did you see that little woman? Of course, they must have been watching. Yeah, they seen it. And it wasn't very much, Lord, so to speak, he probably said. But Jesus said, that little woman right there gave more than all the rest I gave. Somebody ought to be a shouting about now. If you're blessed, ain't there nobody blessed in this place today? If you're blessed, we need to let God know we're blessed. And we need, he already knows who's blessed and who ain't blessed. But if we don't start praising him, he's liable to take our blessing away from us. I don't know about you, but I want my blessings, amen. I want to see the supernatural. I want to see things done that people say can't be done. Amen. Let me tell you. And the disciples looked at him and said, Lord, I'm paraphrasing. Lord, what do you mean she give more than all the rest? She just give 2 little mites or mites. Just 2 little bitties. Didn't amount to nothing. Amen. But Jesus said, oh, she gave more than all the rest. No, she didn't. Look at that, what some of them done. Man, look at this offering plate. She didn't put much in. Look at where the Pharisees and the scribes, man, they piled their plate up, Lord. We do a lot with that. Jesus said, you're not getting the point. And you may not be getting the point this morning. The point is not how much you give. If you give it grudgingly, you might as well start keeping your pocket. I don't care if it's a dollar. I don't care if it's $1,000, Brother Bill. If you're going to give it grudgingly, don't give it at all. I want to tell you, the Bible says God, Bob, loves a cheerful giver this morning. Woo, boy, you start preaching on tithe or some people get quiet.
Come on, brother.
I don't know about you, but I'm blessed this morning.
Amen.
You say, well, yeah. Yeah, you're blessed. Let me tell you something. Brother Larry, I remember a time several years ago that I wasn't blessed. And I had a lot more money than I got today. But let me tell you, I wasn't spending it wisely. Hey, man, I was invested in something that is just going out into the air. Hey, man, I was investing in the devil's work and in the devil's pleasures. And I'm telling you, he'll eat it up. He'll take it away. That's the way the devil is. He'll take everything. God will just take what you want to give him. Hey, man, but the devil won't satisfy it. Well, what you give him, you've got to give him everything. Hey, man, even your life if you're going to serve him. But Jesus said, no, said she gave more. How did she give more? We seen what she give. Said she give all she had. She gave from the heart. Hey, man, she gave from the heart. I was walking one day, Brother Mark, I was at a funeral home. Now, I'm not bragging or boasting about this. Patting myself on the back. I don't want it. I'm just telling you how I was blessed. And this man and woman, he had had surgery, and he was doing a funeral. A good friend of mine, and his wife come in, and she had called me and had a baby somewhere at the hospital with something wrong. Going up there, staying with it, back and forth, and he was sick down, couldn't work it off. And she called me one day, and she said, Brother Ralph, said, we need some prayers. I said, girl, you got it. Well, we went down there. He's doing a funeral. Some of the family went down there, and I sat back there in the funeral home, and God spoke to me. God spoke to my heart. Is anybody ever hear God speak to them? I'm telling you, We need to listen, people. We need to listen to the voice of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me, Brother Larry, and he said, give her $100 bill. I said, Lord, I don't know if I've got $100 bill or not. I looked in my billfold, and there it was. I looked in there. I didn't hesitate on it. It might have left my billfold empty, but I know who put that $100 bill there. Amen. Oh, glory to God this morning. And brother, let me tell you, Rick, I took it out. I walked by that lady. It's me and my wife was going up around the casket. I walked by her mark. I reached my hand out. I had it in it. I shook her hand. I turned, slid it out, and I kept walking. I went up around the casket. I told the brother, I said, you done a good job, brother, preaching. And he did. The funeral. And I started back down the other side, and I just looked across there, and that woman was sitting over there looking straight at me, and I feel sorry for her. I mean, the tears were flowing out her eyes. I left that way, left that day, and she'd go to the cemetery, and she called me later, and she said, Brother Ralph, said, I showed my husband that $100 bill, and said, you ought to seen his eyes buck out. Said, he said, where in the world did you get that at? Said, she said, Brother Ralph, I gave it to me. And she said, I had to call and tell you, brother, that we really could use it. We was down to nothing. Me not working, her not working, all of us not working, and that baby sick, and he certainly said it sure come in handy. I want to tell you, that's all the blessing that I needed, that I was able, Brother Rick, to reach out and help somebody. It may not have been much, but it got them through a day or two. Glory to God. Woo, I believe I can walk on them benches. It's open back through there.
Yeah, brother.
I've done it before, Mark, and if God lays it on me, I'll do it again. I'm talking about you and God. Are you blessed this morning? Are you blessed this morning? I had a preacher tell me one time, said, it's the hardest thing that I've ever tried to do is pay my tithe. I said, man, you ain't much of a preacher. If you know what the Word says, you know what the Bible says. If you know to do good and you don't do it, it's sin. You say, preacher, what you fixing to do, take up a special offering? I ain't taking up nothing. Hey, man, I don't tell you what to give and what not to give. I'm just telling you, if you want a blessing, you need to do what God tells you to do. Hey, man, I said, if you want a blessing, you need to know what God tells you. Trust God. Don't put your trust in that dollar, Johnny. Put your trust in God. Hey, man, Bobby's got everything anyway, ain't he? God is the owner of everything. We don't own nothing. You say, oh, yes, I do. No, you don't. I own the house I live in. It's paid for. Let me tell you something. You stop paying taxes for a few years, and you see where you own it or not. They'll come and take it away from you. Hey, man, you go buy you a new vehicle. You say, I'll buy a new truck. I bought it. You don't make a payment on it for about 2 months. And you see who's going to own it. Hey, man, the people are going to own it. Let me tell you something. God owns everything.
Amen.
God owns you and God owns me.
Amen.
Hey, man. He said, I'll pour out a blessing on you can't contain. A lot of people afraid to try him.
Yep.
Don't be afraid to try him. Don't be afraid to try him. When you see somebody in need and they speak to your heart, if you ain't got but $10 in your pocket and you know they need it worse than you do, you give it to them.
Amen.
Not just to get it, to get the money back. A lot of people think money is a blessing than the money and how much money. The blessing is the least. Money is the least of the blessings that you can have. Amen. Because money is going to burn like everything else. But I want to tell you something. It's the heart is where it's at. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. How much plainer God give? Philippians 4:19, the Bible says, for my God shall supply all. Everybody say all. Everybody say all. All of your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So if you've got Jesus,
come on,
that's all you need.
Amen.
If you serve him, tell him that's all you need. Connie, if you've got Jesus,
you don't need that.
You put your trust in him, that's all you need. You say, well, what about other things I need? If you put your trust in Jesus, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his right. He said, I'll add all these other things to you. Amen.
Amen.
You say, well, preacher, you don't know what kind of shape I'm in. No, I don't, but I know that you ain't the where God can't bring you out of it if you start trusting him. Amen. The reason a lot of people gets down in the dumps and stayed down in the dumps simply because they're putting their trust everywhere else except in the Lord. Except in the Lord. Let me tell you something, people. There's some things that you can't do anything about, and there's some things I can't do anything about, but there is nothing, amen, that Jesus can't do something about. So why in the world do we want to just worry and worry and suffer over things we can't do nothing about? Why not do what the Bible say and bring it to the Lord and leave the guilt there and get up and go on and mind what God says and you will be blessed. This church here is about to explode. If people will just start minding God. You say, well, I am minding God. Well, good. If you're minding God, then you're blessed. You ought to be appraising him for the blessings. Amen? Instead of just sitting. Instead of just sitting there. And you come to church. Well, Lord, we need to get everything else out of our mind. We need to get all of trouble. You say, how in the world can you get your troubles off your mind? If you can't get them off, you bring them to church, will you? Please, for God's sakes, don't take them home with you. Amen. Take them to the altar and leave them up there and get up and go on. And when the devil starts telling you about your past, just take long enough to tell him what about his future. Amen. You see, we've got a past. Amen. Or we used to. We've all got a past. But thank God he forgave us of that past. And so he has given us a future. Amen. And so we've got something that the devil don't have. We've got a future. Amen. I said, you've got a future. If you've got a future, you need to thank God for it, because he is. He is your future this morning. Without Jesus in your life, you don't have a future. You don't have a future without Jesus. People spend more time and worried about what they don't have than what they're blessed with. People may walk by and see that shack by the road, Bill.
Uh-huh.
Say, boy, they must not pay that preacher much. Look at that old frame house he's living in. Hey, man.
It ain't the house.
Whether it looks at.
Right.
It's what lives in that house. It's not a house that makes a home.
That's right.
Amen. I said it's not a house that makes a home. It's Jesus lives in it makes the home. Oh, I can't get a shout out of you people all the way to be fit. God don't bless none of them. God just bless them all. Paul wrote to them about their giving. He said, I'm going to send some guys on ahead of me to make sure that my boasting of you is not, you know, not going to be wrong in it. He said, because I've been boasting about you and how you give this church to others to build God's kingdom. So I'm going to send, and if you ain't got it ready yet, I'm going to send some guys on before I may have to come with them later to get ready for it, because these people are depending on it. Hey, man. And Paul said, you need to give. You need to be a cheerful giver to help build God's kingdom. I don't care if it's a church down the road or up the road. God is in all of them, hey man, if they're let him in them. And if God's in them, God's going to bless them, hey man. And sometimes people, I'm going to tell you, church, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Hey man. I don't know what Brother Bob told me one time, a long time ago. He said, I love to help people. He said, I love to give. I love to give. Yeah. So when we give to God. and for God's work. And before you can get anywhere, you've got to plant a seed. You've got to plant a seed. Amen. And what brought this on, I was sitting there, Sister Connie, last night, and I was sitting there thinking, and I tell you what, I got so happy. I tell you what, I got so happy, I just started to jump up and hug my wife. I wasn't hardly that happy, but I was happy. If I'd have done that, she'd have had a heart attack. But I was sitting there, and I got to thinking about the old Bloomington School right down the road here, where I got my education on the week, during the week. And then we had church down there in the old school on Sunday night. No electricity in there. Boy, I like to see some of you people coming to the church like that. No electricity in there, just school benches, you know, had the arm on them. A big guy, it's hard for him to sit on them. Part of him be sitting out on the floor. But they had coal oil lamps. And Dad, Coy, or some of them hooked up a battery one time. Man, we had light. Hooked up a battery and put a light out there, shine up on the wall. But let me tell you something. We didn't have much down there. The way people looked at it, just an old schoolhouse was falling in.
Come on, brother.
So it wasn't about who we had church at. It was about who was amongst them. And they had church. I believe God has blessed America so much. I believe He's blessed His church so much. They've got them so big and fancy and all. There's nothing wrong with them. But I think what has happened, Cheryl, over the years, they put padded seeds in them and keeping more pad and more pad. And thank God for them. Well, that's a blessing. Hey, man. But you know, some places you go to and they just use them for a place of rest to sit down. Well, I'm going to church so I can get rested up. My God. I worked 3 days in the back of this week and I worked harder this morning than I did all 3 days. Amen. But I've enjoyed it this morning a lot more than I did them other 3 days. But I'm just talking. Somebody says, "Why do you work, Ralph?" You don't have to. No, I don't have to, sir. I've always done it, and I do it to keep limbered up. I look at some of you old people there, I call y'all old, the way you get around, 50, 60 years old, it takes you 5 minutes to get up and down. I tell my wife the other day, I said, "Woman, you need to get a little exercise here." She said, "I can't hardly walk." I said, "Well, that's the reason why you can't walk, you don't get no exercise. When you get some exercise, hey man." You say, "Well, I ain't got nobody to work with me." Well, let me tell you something. If you want to exercise in here when the Holy Ghost falls on, just jump up. Do jumping jacks. Hey, man. Do this and that. Hey, man. Get limbered up.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Well, you can come to God's house and praise the Lord.
Amen,
Paul says, "More blessed to give than it is to receive." He's telling them people this. I'm telling you people it is. Now, Paul said this. Well, let me finish the story. But I got to thinking back years ago, back in the 50s. Let me put it that way, back in the 50s. Somebody say, "Ah, Lord, what are you going to talk about the 50s for? That's years ago. I wasn't even born." No, you wasn't, but you're going to listen to what I got to say if you're in here. And we went down there. And a lot of times we had to walk. We didn't have Cadillacs and four-door pickup trucks and big SUVs to drive where you could get a dozen kids. And that's what most of them had, being your mates, 12 kids. And we walked. When we had a homecoming, we had it out on the ground. You had to get down there and get your blessing. Hey, man. But I got to thinking, Brother Larry, I said all that to say, I got to thinking. Man, the seeds got planted down there in those schoolhouse. The seeds was planted. In the 50s, back in the 60s, 58, 59, they built that church. It was dedicated across the road, I think, in 59 or 60. And God, and I got thinking last night. And now, over the years, because the seed started out being planted down there with children, the seeds got planted in their hearts down there. And they brought it over to up here to the old Bloomington church house here. And now, because there's a lot of seeds over the years planted over there, Now look where God's brought us to. Amen. And see, you've got to sow good seed, the Bible said. And so you look around and you ought to thank God for the seed that you've sowed, because without sowing them seed, Connie, we wouldn't have this congregation. We wouldn't still be down in the old school. We'd cross the road. But because Brother Bill, people sowed seed. We got to sow seed. Amen. Ever how God wants us to sow, we need to sow it.
Amen.
And I've been blessed this week. The guy ain't here this morning, but I've been to a different place this week of visiting, and I found out he was already been there. Me and my wife, we took Thursday, honey, we visited all day. I went out and preached to family and friend, our neighbor and friend, and we left there about 11, and we just finished up all day long. It was dark when we got home. But I'm telling you what, we was blessed. Went to nursing home, visit them. We just visited a lot of people. And it's a blessing to get out and visit them and lift them up in prayer. That's all a lot of them is wanting. And just a little companionship and some prayer. Paul said, but now if you're going to sow sparingly, don't expect anything more than reaping sparingly. You know what sparingly is? He said, if you sow just a little, that's all you're going to get.
That's right.
Now, he said, if you sow bountifully,
amen,
that means a lot. He said, you're going to reap bountifully.
Amen.
Amen.
You've got to plant a lot of seeds, brother.
Did you ever notice? you can plant one little bean. One little bean. Well, some of you can't. You know how to raise a garden. But you plant one little bean, and it comes up, and you go out and pick them off a mess. I'm talking about one bean. And a few days, it'll just keep blooming and blooming and blooming. And you just pick and pick and pick and pick off of it. Now, that's just all from one. You'll just get a mess every now and then. But you know, you go out and you plant you about two or three rows of beans about from here at that wall. But you just plant them and don't do nothing else to them, then you ain't going to get much.
No, that's right.
But now when you plant them and when they come up, you start fertilizing them, you start working them, you start plowing them, you start hoeing them, and you start taking care of them, man, they're going to keep growing, and there's going to come a time that the harvest is going to be mighty.
Amen.
Going to be mighty. I don't know about you, but I feel a harvest here at Bloomington Chapel.
Amen.
Does anybody see it? Does anybody feel, boy, I'm telling you, God help you people. If you've lost your vision, then you've lost Jesus.
Come on.
You say, what kind of harvest? You still talking about beans? No, I'm not talking about beans. I'm talking about a harvest. I'm talking about a world out there lost, dying and going to hell.
Yes, sir.
It's time for a harvest. The seed's been planted. The seed's been watered. That's why Jesus said you need to go out there. The seed's been planted. Go out there. The harvest is ripe. He said that he looked out across the field one day, told the disciples, he said, behold, he said, the people, he said, the multitude, not multitude, but multitudes was coming. And he looked around, he said, behold, the multitudes. In other words, thousands of people was coming to him. And he looked back around, he said, truly, the harvest is ripe. But he said, the laborers are few. He said, pray that there be more laborers go out into the field. That's what I'm praying for, laborers to go out in the field. Hey, man, to get out of this box and go out and work in the field. Hey, man. And I'm going to tell you, God will take us just as far as we'll let him take us.
Amen.
It's up to us this morning. It's up to us this morning. Stand with me this morning. Sis, get a song. This altar's open. If you need to come this morning, it's already been good to be in God's house. But right now, if you need something, If you don't have Jesus, would you come? Take Him home with you. People are just falling dead, and I'm talking about young people. I'm talking about young people. Old people, young people, middle-aged people just falling over dead. You know, the Bible says, you may be the next appointed one that I come after. Yesterday you can't do anything about. Tomorrow you may never see. Jesus said today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Head bowed. Just come on. Nobody looking around. You need to come pray with you. I'm not going to tarry long.
Alone, when I reach out to Jesus.